gospel tonight. We've enjoyed the singing tonight. It's been a blessing. We would remind you, we have some tapes and CDs and other various and sundry study materials out in the foyer if we can help you with any of that. Would remind you about the study website if any of you are interested in that. We have three Bible studies there going on weekly. We're studying through the Psalms verse by verse, word for word. I think we're in Psalms 28 and all the old ones are on there. We have finished up a study in Christ. All the times that little phrase "in Christ" is mentioned. I think it's mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. We tried to hit most of them. I think there's between 80 or 90 studies on that. And then we recently started studying through 1 Peter on the God of all suffering. And we're studying through there verse by verse, word for word. If you're interested in studying the Word of God with us on a weekly basis, we have that website on a bookmark. Maybe it would remind you to pray for us and visit us there and join us in studying the Bible on a weekly basis. We have been since Sunday morning preaching on the subject of the call of God, the call of God. Our Lord has so masterfully laid it out in six little settings where he would use the double name in order to call various and sundry ones. We began on Sunday morning looking at Saul, Saul, and we brought some thoughts on the call to salvation. We looked on Sunday evening at Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. And brought some thoughts there on the call to sorrow. And then on last evening, we looked at that famous little statement, Martha, Martha. And brought some thoughts on the call to service. A real service, true service. Tonight, I want to turn our attention to another time in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22, where our God would use that double name call. And this time, he is speaking to one of his famous disciples. We know him as Peter. But our Lord knew him as Simon. And I'd like to use this text in Luke 22 and verses 31 through 34 and bring some thoughts tonight on the call to sifting. Call to sifting. The Bible says in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, this is Peter speaking now, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, this is Jesus now speaking back to Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Called to sifting. Do not know if you've gotten this call or not. Hang around a little while. She's on the way. Called to sifting. I am reminded of a little verse, Paul's writings in 1 Thessalonians.
He told us that we should walk worthy of our God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. He said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I'm firmly convinced tonight, more than likely, the word of God will never do its effectual work in us apart from sifting experiences. It will be then that you will be driven to this book to not just read it, just not something you tote to the house of God, but it'll be something that you'll want to make your own. I had a preacher tell me not long ago something I had preached, and he said, you know, he said, I can't preach that. I said, how come? He said, I've never made it my own. I guarantee you, when God puts you in the sifter, you'll want to make some of this your own. It'll drive you to do that. As we begin to study the text, I would want to point out, first of all tonight, Satan's demands for sifting. Satan's demands for sifting. Do not want to alarm you tonight. If you belong to God tonight, you've truly been born from above, Satan is continually asking God on a daily basis if he could have you sift you. Notice the text. I notice there is the awareness of Satan's demands. The Bible says in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. You know, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible the way he's just laid things out so wonderfully. The little word Simon means to hear clearly, or it literally means listen. I don't know if this would register to any of you or not, but if that word means that, surely some of you Trinity folks would be familiar with this. He has literally said this, listen, listen. Any of y'all familiar with that statement around here? You thought it originated with your preacher. Now you see why he keeps saying that. Listen, listen. That's exactly what Simon has heard from the Lord. Listen! Listen! He says, Simon, Simon, behold. That little word behold means to look here. Look here. It has the idea of look here with understanding. It has the idea of, look here, I want you to see something. I want you to know something. I want you to understand something. It's almost like God is standing on the battlements of heaven. He knows what's going on in the spiritual world. And he says, listen, I want you to know, so I want you to see this. I want you to understand this. I was thinking about that word behold again. I was reminded years ago, Tom Hayes's local church there where he grew up in, there in Saluda, North Carolina. Old boy that's taught the adult Sunday school class there for years. He only had a seventh grade education, but he knowed the Holy Ghost. And God had used him in that adult class. But Tom said one morning, he said, do y'all know what that word behold means in the Greek? Of course, their ears popped up. They didn't even know he knowed English, let alone Greek. He said that word behold in the Greek means looky, looky. God knows what's going on in the spiritual world, in that world where we have no idea. He stepped forth here to this dear one. He stepped forth to us tonight and says, listen, looky, looky. I want you to see something. I want you to know something. I want you to understand something. What do you want us to see? What you want us to understand? He says, Satan hath desired to have you. The little word Satan there is the little word accuser or slanderer. See, we're not aware that this is going on. This is in the spiritual world. John lets us in on a little bit of it in Revelations 12. He said that Satan comes before the Lord and he accuses the brethren day and night. 24 hours a day, Satan is appearing before Christ and he is accusing you and I. Sad thing. And this is always, I don't know, just put a brokenness in my heart. The sad thing is everything Satan's telling Jesus about you and I is true. He ain't telling him no lies. Oh, he ain't got to beef up no lies on you and I. He just tell the gospel truth, it'd be enough to shame us. Huh? If he just tell him what you've done today, it'd be enough to embarrass us, or what you've thought. Huh? Oh, he says, Satan hath desired to have you. There is the awareness of Satan's demands. But I notice in this text, Satan's demands for sifting, not only do we see the awareness of Satan's demands, but we see the accounting of Satan's demands. He said, Satan hath desired to have you. Was extremely interested in that little word, desired. It means to demand with great intensity for to test the genuineness or realness of a subject. Satan said, let me have her. Let me have him. Let me put him through some test. Let's see if they got the real deal or not. Oh, I know they joined over there at Trinity. Oh, I know they got their name on the roll over there. They made their little profession. He said, but you let me have them. Let's see if they got the real deal or not. That's what's going on 24 hours a day. He's bombarding Christ. Let me have them. Let me have them. What in the world does he want to do to us? We're talking about the accounting of Satan's demands. It's going on in the spiritual world, that world where we cannot see in. He said that he has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Pray tell, what is that all about? The little word sift here means to winnoweth the barley. Winnoweth the barley. The days of Boaz and Ruth, when she came and made it known that she wanted to be his bride, laid down at his feet. The Bible said that he had just finished barley harvest. He had just finished winnowing the barley. What had he been doing to it? Those days, they used to take the barley and put it in a sheet. Nighttime set in the darkness of the night, and the breeze and the wind of the night would begin to blow. They would throw that wheat up in the wind. That wind would blow the chaff away. That which was not the genuine wheat, it would blow it out. And only that which would fall into the sheet was the real thing. What world's Satan wanting with me? What is he asking God to have me for? He said, I want to test his genuineness, his realness, see if he's really one of yours. He said, let me toss him up in the winds of adversity. Let's see how he responds to it. Satan is making that demand. Satan wants to toss you and up in the winds of turmoil, grief, disappointment, adversity, trouble, heartache, suffering. See what our response is. You know the greatest test that God could ever send any of us tonight is the test to see if we'll live what we believe in the middle of trouble. See, you can come over here all the time and talk about, oh, ain't God good? Boy, I tell you, God been good to me. But start fighting hell by the acre. Let Satan start tossing you up. And while he's got you up there in the winds of adversity, agitating you and all hell's breaking loose, then see if you'll say, boy, ain't God good. It's a horse of a different color. I tell you, the thing that has really shocked me here lately, made me take account of my own life, is people that I've seen saved for years, and they've told people how they ought to respond in their troubles and how they ought to give their heart to Jesus and they ought to walk with God. But now God's calling on them to live what they believe, and they're crumbling at the foundation, crumbling at the foundation. Finally, Satan has brought them to the sheep. He's finally got his way. He's going to sift them. See if they're real or not. See if they're genuine. Just being nosy tonight. Wonder how you'll do when he starts chunking you up and down. Testing you. See if you're real or not. See if you're genuine or not. I tell you what. You can make yourself a note. If the little bit of trouble you're going through right now ain't driving you to a deeper relationship with this book, you can rest assured you ain't got nothing yet. Ain't got nothing yet. Ain't got nothing yet. Are you listening to me tonight? Satan's demands for sifting. But watch the text, verse number 32. Not only do we see Satan's demands for sifting, but we see the Savior's devotion through the sifting. I'm extremely interested in using that little word through, T-H-R-U. Because there is no mention in this text that Jesus told Peter, Peter, I'm going to keep him off from you. Oh, no, hon. That ain't going to happen. Oh, no. There is no mention in this text that our Lord is going to stand in between Satan and Peter. But if you read through the lines and read between the lines, it is almost like Jesus had said, Peter, I done told him, go ahead and start throwing him up. Let's see what he's got. I'm convinced in my own heart, I don't know about you, I'm going to testify for you tonight. But 99.9% of any trouble that I have ever gotten into, God has never got me out of it. Never. Because I realize he has the ability to speak and it's over with. But 99.9% of every trouble I've ever gotten into, I've had to go through it. He has not taken it away, and he's not gotten me out of it. I've had to go through it. But I have got good news for you tonight. I didn't go through it by myself. He was there. Oh, every time Satan threw me up in the air and I felt the winds of adversity upon me and hail bouncing up around, every time he threw me up, I felt Jesus going up and down with me. Huh? Well, pray tell, what kind of devotions is our Lord having? The Savior's devotion through the sifting. I notice in verse 32 we see the type of his devotion. He says, but I have prayed for thee. That little word prayed there is an interesting word. It means to beg. It means to petition. It means to beseech. But this little word pray here is a very unusual word pray that is used in the New Testament. The word has the idea of one attaching himself to the petition for the assurance that it'll be answered. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, he said, these are not just words I'm offering for you, just shooting up a prayer or two. He said, but I'm attaching myself to these petitions. And he says, I'm assured that they're going to be answered. Oh, I tell you how you know how you can be double sure tonight God answer your prayer? If he hears it. If he don't hear it, he ain't answering it. But if he hears it, he'll answer it. Said that in 1 John 5. He says, if I hear it, you got it. Oh, I love that, don't you? Wonder how many prayers hitting us back on the head. Huh? Are you listening to me? He says, I have prayed for you. I was extremely interested in the tense of the verb. I didn't know if you saw it or not. He says, but I have prayed. I didn't know if you'd see that ED or not. I thought I'd underline it. That's past tense. Whenever there's an ED on a New Testament word, it's in the aorist tense, meaning there's been a past action continuing in the present, guaranteeing future results. Jesus said, the first time Satan come wanted to sift you, we had decided that it would be all right. He said, I have been praying for you all along. He says, I have been petitioning you. Matter of fact, he says over in Hebrews 7, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I was a-wondering tonight. I notice that a lot of you go in here in the prayer room, you offer prayer requests, and I've been around here on Saturday night and heard some of you do your prayer request, and it's always a blessing for me somebody say they're praying for me. But I was wondering tonight, have you ever asked him to pray for you? Have you ever been fighting hell by the acre? You just feel like he's got you in the sifter. Have you ever just slipped away somewhere there at the house and got alone, got on your knees, maybe there in the car on the way to work and say, Lord, you know what I'm going through. Would you mind praying for me today? Huh? You say, you crazy, preacher. Don't pitch me and wake me up. Let me be crazy a little longer. Huh? I tell you, I've been a-praying for my mom and daddy. Oh, my daddy's dying. I can see it every time I call. He's getting a little closer. Oh, but my prayers, they might could help a little bit, but I've been asking the Lord, Lord, would you pray for them? Would you pray for them? Would you pray for them? Some of your loved ones tonight, they're facing great odds. Maybe you feel like you're not getting through. Maybe you're crying, oh, God, would you pray for them? Would you pray for them? I tell you what, if he ever attaches himself to a petition, you can rest assured of one thing. Help's on the way. Help's on the way. Huh? Not only do I see the type of his devotion, but I see the target of his devotion. Just exactly what does he pray for? Our targets in prayer are so temporal. So temporal. We pray for people's health. Do you ever see them in the Bible praying for gallbladders much? Huh? Do you see them praying much in the Bible for backs and feet? I don't know. Please, if it's in there, I don't know. I've only been studying the Bible 36 years. Maybe I missed it. Show it to me. Health, mental health, physical health, financial well-being, body parts, toes. Grace is now into praying for dogs and cats. Huh? Pets. Did you notice what he prayed for? He said, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He's not praying for something temporal. He's praying for something eternal tonight. He's praying about Peter's faith. The little word faith that is used here, it is the word that makes up the core of one's conviction of belief that causes him to wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly lean upon another. He said, Peter, Satan's going to throw you up in the winds of adversity, but I'm praying that you would wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly lean upon me. He said, I prayed that your faith fail not. That little word fail means to omit, to cease, to leave off, to lack, to be wanting, to be absent, to be A-W-O-L. We're not talking about losing your salvation, but when one of your loved ones are fighting hell by the acre, instead of praying about their cancer, about praying about God would heal them, pray God help them that their faith wouldn't go south, that their faith wouldn't go A-W-O-L, but they would cast themselves helplessly upon you. That's the only reason God sent them that adversity. Somebody's throwing them up in the winds of adversity. What they're doing, preacher? The devil wants to see if they're real or not. He's wanting to see if they're genuine or not. We're praying that they'd get healed. I tell you, that's not what they're praying over there. They're praying that their faith wouldn't go AWOL. I tell you, if there's anything, I've been burdened in the last couple of days to pray for my mom and dad. Not that God would heal my daddy, not that God would get my daddy out of the bed. Not that it would go easy on my mama. They've been married 65 years, but I've been praying their faith wouldn't fail them. I tell you, not my daddy, but I can see my mama beginning to stumble in that faith. She's had it for years. Told everybody else what they ought to do, but she don't want to let him go. Oh, I've been praying that she'd cast herself helplessly upon him, that her faith would not fail. He said, not only have I been praying that your faith fail not, but he says in this text, he says, and when thou art converted. Now that little word converted there is not a word for salvation. It is not a word for someone getting saved. More than likely, Peter got saved over there in that passage of Scripture when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He told Peter, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. He said, my followers in heaven reveal that to you. But this word converted here means to come again to the senses. It means to return again, to turn around, to mature, to grow up, to get some depth in the Word of God. God said, when you cast yourself wholly upon me and you begin to anchor yourself down deep, you can cry from deep within you to deep within Him. When you've repented from playing church, when you've repented from this playing Bible study, repented of this Sunday school religion, you begin to get deep in the Word of God. He said, Peter, he said, when you're converted, he said, strengthen the brethren. That little word means to set them fast, turn them in a resolute direction, establish them so they'll be unmovable. Oh, I tell you, you and I cannot effectually tell others what they ought to do until we have experienced this book for ourselves. He's thrown us up in the winds of adversity. We've cast ourselves helplessly upon Him. Then we can strengthen the brethren. Then we can strengthen the brethren. But I tell you what, if you're wavering in your troubles and it's not driving you to a deeper relationship with this book, you can rest assured you have no effectual ministry with those that are around you. Huh? I was thinking again today, when the boys were growing up and they'd go off in the car, I'd pray for them until they got back home. And it was just a relief when I heard that door open. I felt like that I could at least relax in that intense praying that God would get them home safe. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you're liable to have to go through in the sifting department. But I would remind you of this tonight. He has been praying for you. He is praying for you. And He will pray for you until you get home. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Huh? Oh, I'm talking about the Savior's devotion through sifting. Could I mention this last little thought and I'll be done? A call to sifting. We see Satan's demands for the sifting. We see the Savior's devotion through the sifting. I'd like to point out to you last of all, Simon's dumbness in the sifting. You know, Christian people are not real smart . And most of the time, we let everybody know it when we open our mouth. Especially when you are fighting hell by the acre. Notice in this text, in verse 33, Peter's readiness is but foolishness. He says in verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. His readiness is but foolishness. I know there's some of you sitting here tonight. I guarantee you, if you just be honest and let that old stinking natural man out, I guarantee you there's a bunch of you sitting right here. I don't think anything will knock me off if it comes. I'm pretty close to Jesus. Me and him are pretty tight. Don't forget, Satan is making a request for you. Wants to sift you. I was thinking about, you know, Peter's been known for his statements. The only time the old boy ever opened his mouth is change feet. Huh? I love that classic one he made up there on the Transfiguration Mountain. He told the Lord, he said, let's build 3 pup tents up here and we'll all just live up here on the mountain. Huh? And the gospel writer made this statement. He knew not what he said. Have a clue about what he was talking about. I won't ever believe I'm wrong till I get to heaven and ask the other 10 disciples. That every time Peter opened his mouth, I guarantee the other 10 of them did this. Huh? You know, it's not a bad idea to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubts. All doubts. Dark hour of the soul. Foolish statements can be made. I have found that so true. God's moving in a service. Seems like the Holy Ghost is falling. I'm amazed at the statements Baptists can make. Huh? I guarantee you, y'all could write a book about it around here. Huh? God be moving, Holy Ghost be breathing on the place, and somebody will stand up and say, preacher, will you pray for my uncle's back? He's been bothered with it real bad. I was in a service not long ago. I had preached all week on Joseph. God meant it for good. I just felt like I had such liberty. There was an old guy got up the last night, crying, testifying. It would be what we would call, by all appearances, testifying in the Holy Ghost. He's crying and weeping. He said, I've been praying for months whether I ought to stay in the Masons and the Masonic Temple. And he said, these messages on Joseph's just helped me so much. God has shown me this week I need to stay in that group. I punched Beth. I said, Lord God, how did he get that out of Joseph? I promise you, he would have known God if he come riding in on a fire truck blowing a siren. Huh? You make some crazy statements when you're in a sifter. Throwed up in the air. I guess the classic that I have heard in a long time is a dear preacher friend of mine was preaching not far from here recently. He was in this Western North Carolina area. He told me, he said, I preached my guts out. And he said, by all intents and purposes, it looked like God had fallen on the place. He said, there was people in the altar. He said, but especially there was one lady in the altar. He said, I've never seen a person crying in brokenness like she was. And he said, I just knowed God had worked in her heart. And he said, I was so overwhelmed with how she was crying. He said, I went to worshiping myself. He said, God was helping me. He said, she got up and went back to her seat. And he said, lo and behold, here she come again. He said, she was broke worse then than she was before. He said, I just knowed. He said, gracious, God has done a work in that gal's heart tonight. He said, she got back to her seat. Service was fixing the clothes, and she popped up. She said, preacher, I want to testify. She said, y'all all know, she said, my daughter died a year ago. She said, I ain't been able to get no help for a year. She said, you know, I tried listening to that gospel music, but it just won't help you. It just keeps you down. She said, I was on the way to work this morning. She said, I turned the radio on. She said, they was playing that song, Hunka Hunka Burning Love. And she said, God set me free in the car, and I've been free all day. Friend thought his preaching had helped her. Oh, oftentimes our readiness in a time of sifting is nothing more than foolishness. I tell you, if God has got you in the sifter tonight, the winds of adversity are blowing through your life. Best thing you and I can do, keep our mouth shut. Be still and know that he is God. Get in this book deeper and deeper and deeper. Let this book get in us deeper and deeper and deeper. Peter's readiness is but foolishness. Could I mention in verse number 34, not only do we see Peter's readiness is but foolishness, but we see Christ's rooster is but foretelling. Foretelling. I don't know about you. When I read that story there, that verse 34 about that rooster crowing, must have been after midnight when all this happened, because he said this day. So it's already gone into the next day. He said when that rooster crows, when there's, he said, you'll say three times, you don't know this blankety-blank Jew. Don't know me at all. I was reminded of our Lord's control over everything, especially his control over creation. Here he's got a rooster preaching. One time he had a buzzard bringing some stuff. Why, he's had whales before to swallow things. He's had dogs to howl right at the right time. He had a dove to tell some things one time. He had a donkey talking one time. He had a colt one time and her jack's son come a-walking and a-carrying. Oh, he's much in control in a time of sifting. Oh, let us be still. He said this day. Matter of fact, he tells him exactly how many times he's going to deny. He said, you're going to deny me three times. The Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. How come that sifting is causing the Word of God to effectually work in his heart? Effectually work in his heart. Thought it was interesting that this old cussing preacher, this old Christ denier. Matter of fact, I didn't know if you was aware of this or not. You talking about a messed up, dysfunctional guy. Peter was one mess, bud. The Bible said he liked to fish in his birthday suit. Yeah. He liked to take off all his clothes when he went fishing. I tell you, he's a mess. Till he got in that sifter. And that word began to effectually work on him. Bible said after the resurrection, Jesus come in an upper room up there where they had the doors locked, scared to death. They didn't know what was going to happen to him. Bible said he come up there in the upper room up there and did this. Breathed on them. They received the Holy Ghost. Well, what good did that do? 50 days later, this old drunken, that rigorous, that attitude of that fisherman, that cussing attitude, that denying attitude, that dysfunctional mark upon his life. Here, he preaches a message. 3,000 people get saved. 3,000 people. Drunk upon that spirit, that breath of God. Oh, Bible tells us that he went over and preached to Cornelius, opened the gospel door to the Gentile world. The Bible tells us that he raised Dorcas from the dead. Bible tells us that he had so much power that when he would walk down the streets, they would bring their sick and lay them alongside of the street. And they said that the shadow of Peter passing by over the sick bodies would heal their bodies. Had such power in him. Such power in him. Matter of fact, the Bible doesn't tell us. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us that he was arrested for preaching the gospel. And he was sentenced to be crucified. And they said, old Peter told him, he said, I dare not die like my Savior did. He said, if you're going to crucify me, he said, crucify me upside down. And so they flipped Peter upside down and nailed his feet to the uprights and hung his head down. I don't know what you think about this. I know this ain't in the Bible. It's just in my head so big that I got to let it out. I was a-wondering as he was a-dying if Jesus said, Satan, what you think about that? You think he's real? You think he's genuine? You think he's got the stuff? And I dare some to say that the devil's mouth was shut. I wonder as you and I are going through our sifting times, is our response shutting the devil's mouth or giving him yet more reasons to accuse us? Look at them. You say they're saved. They sure don't act like it when they're in trouble. I'm talking about a call to sifting. Would you stand with us tonight?